Hello, welcome back to another Nugget of Truth. As we continue our study of miracles, signs, and wonders, we'll be looking at the concept of a sign. We all want God to reveal himself, which would be a sign, so that we could be sure that what God has promised he will fulfill. That's the human side of us. But what does the Bible say about signs? First, let's look at the dictionary definition of the word sign. As a noun, it is defined this way: an object, quality, or event whose presence or occurrence indicates the probable presence or occurrence of something else. That may sound a little complicated, but let me give you a couple of examples. For instance, flowers are often given as a sign of affection. That's a sign. A stop sign indicates the possible danger at the road crossing. In either of these two cases, a sign is an indicator of something that you can't see. A song popular in the 70s was "They Shall Know We Are Christians by Our Love." It was also known as the "We Are the One in the Spirit" song, and that was written by Peter Schultes. The song makes the point that the sign of Christ in us is love. The chorus goes, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. The song is based upon Jesus' words in John 13, verses 34 through 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." "They shall know you are Christians by your love" is the name of the song. But what the scripture says is that they shall know you are my disciples by your love. So a very important distinction between those two lines that I've just recited, and that is between the words a Christian and a disciple. In today's world, there are many what I would call generic Christians. These are Christians who wear the label Christian. A generational Christian is an example of this. A generational Christian is one is an individual who's raised in a Christian family, but doesn't understand what it means to be a Christian. You know, their parents may have been Christians, their grandparents may have been Christians, their great-grandparents may have been Christians, and so they identify with being a Christian. But if they had to fill out a form with the choices, "Are you a Jew, Buddhist, Muslim, or Christian?" they would mark Christian, only because they know they're not the others. Jesus said, "You are my disciples if you love one another." You see, a disciple is not one who simply identifies with Christianity. A disciple is a follower committed to the teachings of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The term Savior describes what Jesus has done. He has saved us from hell and given us heaven. The term Lord describes the relationship. Jesus is King. And that means we are obedient to his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome or difficult, but they are for our own good. Throughout the New Testament, the Jews asked and even demanded that Jesus show a sign. Of course, the sign they were looking for was something that showed that Jesus was from God the Father. The Apostle Paul even says in John 1, 22 and 24, "For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." In that statement, we clearly see three groups of people mentioned. The Jews believe that God would move by signs, because that's how God moved throughout the Old Testament. However, the Old Covenant was replaced by the better New Covenant described in Hebrews chapters 8 through 10. The New Covenant is a covenant of faith, not of signs. The second group we look at are the Greeks. They worship the mind, the intellect of man. They were the great philosophers of the age. They were so focused on natural logic that they missed the supernatural. And of course, the third group would be to the Christians. To this Christian, it's a simple message of the cross. Jesus died in our place and granted us love, forgiveness, and acceptance into the family of God. Paul even admits that it seems foolish to those who want God to prove himself with a sign or an intellectual argument. But again, for the believer, we walk by faith and not by sight. A believer doesn't need to be convinced by outward signs or arguments because he or she has experienced and has been touched by God. In the Gospel of John, there are 7 signs that Jesus performed that prove that he is God. Now, I can only touch briefly on them, but I encourage you to take a deeper look on your own. The first miracle was the Cana wedding, where Jesus turned the water into wine. In John 2, verse 11, it says the following: "This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and it manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." The second sign was Jesus healing the nobleman's son. That was in John 4. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.' But nevertheless, he healed that young man." The third sign was when Jesus healed the paralytic. You see, the paralytic had been trusting in man because he was at the fountain, and it required that when the waters were stirred, that someone would lift him up and carry them into the water. In John 5:7, the man said to Jesus, and he said, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." But yet, Jesus didn't put him in the pool. Jesus healed him, and that was a miraculous sign. The fourth miracle is when Jesus feeds the 5,000. And that was a sign testing Philip's faith. In John 6:14, it says, "And those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, the feeding of the 5,000, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.'" The fifth miracle was when Jesus walked on water. And that's in John 6:15. Jesus conquered the natural laws of physics. The sixth miracle was when Jesus healed the blind man. In John 9:36, "And he answered and said, 'Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?'" This was the blind man speaking. "And Jesus said to him, 'You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you.' And then he said, 'Lord, I believe,' and he began to worship him." The seventh sign was when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And before he actually went to raise Lazarus, as he was speaking to his disciples, in John 11:15, it says, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." On a personal level, the signs of God's work in you are that you experience love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what I've just listed are the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which are visible to all who are around you. You'll find those in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are also available to you, which are described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. These gifts also work through you to point people to Jesus. It's the Spirit of the Father, or the Holy Spirit, that helps a Christian become the person God has called him to be. You are called to be a sign that Jesus is real and that he lives in you. Let your unconditional love be evident in your family, your friends, and throughout the world. God bless you, and look forward to seeing you the next time when we begin to talk about wonders, the wonders of God. God bless again.